So today I want to talk about the multiple mixing properties of algebraic ZD actions. So to remind you, we have our ZD action alpha on a compact abelian group X with Hahn measure lambda. And we are interested in the following question. If you fix an integer r greater than or equal to 2 and Borel sets B1 to BR, whether the limit of the measure of alpha to the minus N1 B1 intersected with alpha to the minus NR BR tends to the product of the measures of these sets as the NI tend to infinity and their differences also tend to infinity. So they should move to infinity and they should move apart. And then we want to know whether the behavior, if you think of this point as having some coordinates, whether the behavior in these different positions becomes independent, at least in an asymptotic sense. Now suppose this is true. Oh, in this case it's called mixing of order R. If this is true for any choice of Borel sets B1 to BR, that this limit converges to the correct product. Yes?
In the power theory, the N1 up to NR, why do you have minus signs in front of it?
It's invertible. It's because afterwards I want to rewrite the equation and not have minus signs.
Mixing of order 1, according to your...
Mixing of order 1 is just measure preserving.
Okay.
Mixing of order 2 is the usual mixing. And, well, mixing of order 3 is where things become more interesting. So, this condition here is equivalent to... First of all, you can express the indicator function of these sets as Fourier series. Fourier series are linear combinations of characters. So it's enough to have this expression, or the analog of this expression, behave correctly for functions which are just characters on the group X. So this mixing property is equivalent to saying that for all elements A1 to AR in X hat, the integral, or the limit, of the integrals of A1 alpha to the N1, now the sign, the minus sign has disappeared, of X AR alpha to the NR of X d lambda is equal to the product of the integrals of these functions AIX d lambda of X. There should be an X somewhere here. Okay? So, as I said, take the indicator functions of these BIs, express them as Fourier series, then you've got here a sum of characters with coefficients, and you take products of these sums. So the individual terms in this big product, they all look like this. And if you put then coefficients in front and take the linear combinations again, you get the expression up here. So this is equivalent. Now, when is the right-hand side? That this expression here is equal to zero if and only if at least one of the AI is non-trivial. So how could this limit go wrong? Only if you have at least one, so this goes wrong, only if at least one AI is non-zero, in other words, the non-trivial character, but, so now we move the alpha I over to the other side, and we have to remember how, so let me first of all write it in terms of the dual action, the sum of alpha to the ni hat of ai is equal to zero. I've left out the limit and all this stuff. So in other words, this goes wrong if and only if for such a sequence infinitely often, so we might as well go to some subsequence and then have a subsequence of n i's which do the right thing. They all go to infinity and they're also spread apart, and there should then exist a subsequence for which this sum here is always the trivial character, but at least one of the AIs is a non-trivial character. Now remember how we defined the dual module. Well, it's precisely the alpha ni hat in the dual module is just multiplication by the monomial u to the ni. So this goes wrong if and only if the sum of u to the ni times ai is equal to zero, but not all ai are equal to zero. Is this believable? So this is the condition that it's mixing of order R. So it's not mixing of order R if and only if there exists some sequence of ni's and some choice of ai's for which this integral is, along some appropriate subsequence, not equal to this integral or to this product of integrals. Now we know when this is non-zero, and we know when this is non-zero. This is non-zero if and only if the characters which are written in here add up to zero. So let me summarize this and put it here in the corner because we'll need it a few times in the following discussions. So it's non-mixing of order R if and only if there exist characters A1 to AR in X hat, which is our dual module, such that not all AI are equal to zero, in which case we can just drop the terms which are zero, but the equation u to the n1 a1 plus u to the nr ar is equal to zero for infinitely many n1 to nr, but now I have to say with the right properties. So there should be infinitely many solutions. I'll talk about exactly what the definition we need. So at the moment, let me just remind you, it means that there should be a sequence N1 to a sequence here, you could put K. So this is one term of the sequence. They should spread out to infinity and move apart. So we are looking at an equation of the following kind. We have elements A1 to AR, which are in our module, and then we have a finitely generated multiplicative subgroup of the ring RD, generated by the variables U1 to UD, and this equation should have infinitely many solutions, x1a1 plus and so on, plus xrar, where the xi lie in this finitely generated multiplicative group, and have this additional property that they spread out in some sense. I will come back to that second condition later on. Now the first step is exactly along the lines of what we were talking about in the last lecture, that you want to reduce everything from the module to its associated prime ideals. So the first step replaces M equal to x hat, that's the dual module, by the modules RD mod P, where P is one of the associated primes of M. And of course one has to prove this, that it's enough to check it for all these modules. But that's exactly what happens once again. This is the typical picture one hopes for, at least in this theory, that you can get away from the module, which can have a relatively complicated structure, and go over just to these much simpler modules, which come from the associated prime ideals of the module. So the precise statement is, if there is this kind of bad phenomenon occurring for the module, then it occurs for at least one of the associated prime ideals of the module. In other words, if we get such an equation for M, we also get such an equation where we have replaced M by RD mod P. Okay, so now we can look at the quotient field K equal to the quotient field of RD mod P. No zero divisors, so that's okay. And then we get the same equation again. So in K, we have an equation x1a1 plus and so on, xn XR AR equal to 0, where the XI lie in a finitely generated subgroup of K star, the multiplicative group, and the AI are non-zero, so without loss of generality. We assume that all AI are non-zero. We just drop terms which are zero. If one of these AIs is equal to zero, we just omit it. Okay. Now let's look at the motivating example which I mentioned earlier, namely Le Drapier's example. So for Le Drapier's example, the prime ideal P is generated by 2 and 1 plus U1 plus U2. The module M is R2 modulo P. What does the group X look like? Remember, X is a subgroup, so this is equal to the dual group of M. This is a subgroup of R mod Z to the Z squared. And it's the set of all doubly indexed sequences. So this is the set of all X equal to, say, XKL, with the following property. They get annihilated by all these polynomials. So what does it mean that XKL gets annihilated by 2? It means that each coordinate must be either 0 or 1 half. So we have 2X is equal to 0. And the other condition was that XKL plus XK plus 1L plus XKL plus 1 is equal to 0 for all KL in Z squared. So it's the set of all possible configurations where to each lattice site in Z squared you attach either a 0 or a 1 half, and the sum, wherever you sum over a configuration like this here, should be 0 mod 1. That's equivalent to the description I gave last time where you have zeros or ones in each coordinate and the sum should always be even when you add it over such a triangle. Okay, so what happens? What's the condition here? If we add these three coordinates, you get 0. I claim that this implies that if you add these three coordinates, you also get 0. Le Drapier actually worked it out explicitly. He said, well, let's add this one, and this one. Then let's add this one, and this one. And finally, let's add this, this, and this. So now we have this occurs twice, so we don't see it because it's either 0 or 1 half. This occurs twice, this occurs twice. These three terms don't contribute. And we find that this plus this plus this is equal to 0. We can do it again. And we find that in any configuration of the form this location, then here, distance 2 to the n, again distance 2 to the n, and the sum of these three coordinates is equal to 0. I'm repeating Le Drapier's original observation. So what does this mean? It means that if this is, let's say, 0, and this is 0, I'm talking about the point in the space X which has coordinate 0 here and coordinate 0 here, then it must also have coordinate 0 up here. So the set where all three coordinates are equal to 0 doesn't have measure 1/8 as it should have. 0 or 1 are equally likely. But it has 1/4, because these two already determine it. In other words, this mixing condition breaks down. But it breaks down in a very peculiar way. We are not looking at arbitrary powers, n1 to nr, which tend to infinity in all sorts of wild ways. We get an equation, let me write it underneath, we have, let me write, first of all write a special form of the equation and then write down the general form. So in this particular case, we have U well, we have just A1 plus U to the 2 to the N 0 A2 plus U to the 0 2 to the N A3 equal to 0. So there is one set, this set S, let's say, which is 0, 0, 1, 0, and 0, 1. And we have the equation, the sum, so this would be N1, this would be N2, this would be N3, and the equation U to the K N1 A1 plus U to the K N2 A2 plus U to the K N3 A3 has, this equation has infinitely many K's as solutions. So in other words, we take a fixed pattern, in this case this pattern here, which I've just drawn, and we blow it up. And from time to time, we get dependence between these terms. So this is a very special case of this more general phenomenon, where you have no relation between these NIs. And this is therefore naturally called a non-mixing set or non-mixing pattern. So we have a non-mixing set, S in Z to the D. This is a finite set, finite and not non-empty. And it has the property that for each N in S, there exists a Borel set. I'm sorry, no. For each N in S, we have gone past sets. There exists an AN in our module, which since the beginning of our discussion we've already reduced to RD mod P, such that U to the K N1 A N1 plus and so on, U to the K, no, let me write it as a sum. The sum of all N in S of U to the KN AN is equal to zero for infinitely many K. This is, as I said, what happens for Le Drapier's example. It's a special case of breakdown of mixing of order. In this case, the order is the cardinality of S, where everything happens sort of in a very regular way. Let's look at this R2 mod P, this ring. Well, the P contains the constant 2. So the quotient field, the field of fractions, has characteristic 2. So this says that if the characteristic is positive, then mixing can break down in a particularly regular way. Let me go back to the case where the characteristic is 0 and ask whether it's also possible for mixing to break down in such a regular way. So what does the equation? We can now forget everything about the origin of the problem. We have this equation now is just an equation in a field. So we have x1 to the k a1 plus x, how many do we have? R we had once, to the k AR equal to 0. We have an equation of this form. The XI are the U to the NI. And this has infinitely many, for infinitely many K greater than or equal to 1. This is the equation we are led to if there is a non-mixing set as it exists for Le Drapier's example. And this happens in a field of characteristic 0 now by assumption. Well, there is a very beautiful theorem by Mahler from the year, let me try and find it, 1935. Which says that if this happens, then there exists a D, and there exists integers, 1 less than or equal to I, less than J, less than or equal to R, such that X1 to the D, XI to the D is equal to XJ to the D. So I'm talking about the general equation in a field of characteristic 0. If you have non-zero terms A1 to AR and non-zero X1 to XR, for which this equation has infinitely many solutions, then some or two of these XIs must be in a relationship like this. So let's translate this back into dynamics. The XI, this was a U to the NI, some U to the something. And the other one was the XJ, was equal to U to the NJ. For different N tuples of integers, NI and NJ. Therefore, since this is equal to this, at least after raising it to the dth power, we find that u to the d times ni minus nj is equal to 1. I'm just translating this equation back here. Or that this lies in the prime ideal P, because when is something zero in R d mod P? Precisely if it lies in the prime ideal. But this says that this difference must lie in a prime ideal associated with the original module M, if you now think back all the way where this came from. And if you, as I said, if you have total recall, then this tells you that the action wasn't mixing to start with. The action was not mixing if there was a generalized cyclotomic polynomial which annihilates an element of the module. Well, that's precisely what this says. So if the action is mixing, then this can simply not happen for more than two terms. In fact, yeah, mixing, then this cannot happen for two or more terms. That's Mahler's theorem. This result is much harder because we are not assuming any such simple relationship between these NIs. So let's look at the equation which we would have to resolve in order to deal with the general mixing problem of order R and not with the question of the existence of non-mixing sets. Then the equation looks like this, if I may do the inexcusable and alter something in an equation on the board. We are now interested in the number of solutions for fixed A1 to AR, where the AI, where the XI lie in a finitely generated subgroup G in K cross. It's the subgroup generated by the variables, by the powers of the variables U1 to UD. We want to know how many solutions an equation like this can have if the whole setup came from a mixing action. So the first thing is that we can obviously assume that R mixing breaks down for some minimal R. There must be some smallest R for which R mixing breaks down. So this means that this equation has infinitely many solutions for which no subsum vanishes. Because if a subsum vanishes, then we get the same equation, but with fewer terms, and that would imply an even lower breakdown of mixing at an even lower order. That's one thing. The second thing is that we don't want to have linear dependency. If we have a solution, then we can always multiply this solution by an element of G. Right? So it would be useful to normalize it. In other words, since we are in a field, we can divide by variables. So, for example, we could divide everything by A1. And then we can absorb the X1. We can replace the XI by XI X1 inverse. So we could assume that this term is simply 1. So allow me to do this. And without changing the number of variables or the number of terms as I should do, I'll just assume that this equation has a 1 on the right-hand side. The R has now changed. It's been reduced by 1. So now we are looking for solutions to this equation where the XI lie in this finitely generated subgroup of K star. The AI are all non-zero. And we are only interested in solutions for which no subsum vanishes. And then there is a remarkable theorem, which has sort of many generations, which is due to Schlickewey, Evertse, and van der Poorten. I think the fanciest version is Schlickewey, but these three people were involved in various generations of this theorem, which says that under this assumption, there are only finitely many solutions. Okay? There are only finitely many solutions x1 to xr. They even have a bound on the number of solutions, which only depends on the rank of G, on the number of generators of G. This is a most remarkable result because it does actually much more than prove that if the action is mixing, then it's mixing of every order. It also tells you something about the speed of mixing if you actually analyze the consequences of this statement in detail. And it does so without knowing anything about the action. All we had was RD modulo a prime ideal. We don't have to know anything about this prime ideal. All we have to know is that it's a field which we get and that this field has to have characteristic zero. In other words, the prime ideal should not contain a constant, which is the same as assuming that the original group X we started off with is connected. So what we have proved, if you believe all this, is that if you have a mixing algebraic ZD action on a compact connected abelian group, then it's mixing of every order. And to remind you, there is the weaker version, which said that there are no non-mixing sets, which was due to Mahler from 1935, I think. And then there was the result in its full strength, which says that it's always mixing of every order. It's clear that if the field K has positive characteristics, this result cannot be correct, because Le Drapier's example says that such equations can have lots of solutions. So the one of the difficult things was to find the right version of the result for positive characteristic. But let's do the easy bit first, and let's look at, or relatively easy bit, let's look at the question, what are the non-mixing sets? How is it possible for a non-mixing set to come about in a Le Drapier type example, in one of these examples where you have maybe something of the form 2, f, so in other words, the prime ideal contains a constant, and then you have a polynomial which is irreducible even after reduction of its coefficients mod 2. So before we looked at 2, 1 plus u1 plus u2, and the calculation which I gave when we decided that the things which are the right distance apart in this particular arrangement, that you get this dependence. It's just the calculation that modulo 2, 1 plus u1 plus u2 raised to the power 2 to the n is 1 plus u1 to the 2 to the n plus u2 to the 2 to the n. That's all there was to it. So if we have such an expression, then the support of the polynomial f, in other words, the monomials which occur in the polynomial f, so they are indexed by certain elements of z to the d, that gives you a non-mixing set. So if this polynomial were, let's say, f equal to 1 plus u1 plus u2 plus u1 squared plus u1 u2 plus u2 squared, you would immediately tell me that for exactly the same reason, this set, which I'll just draw symbolically, so this would be 0, 0, 1, 0, 2, 0, 0, 1, 1, 1, 0, 2, this set would be non-mixing. If we raise this polynomial to the power 2 to the n, we get the same polynomial, mod 2, but the coefficients are now spaced 2 to the n apart. So this set is non-mixing for this example. Okay. But now comes a surprise. This set here is also non-mixing for this example. But you certainly don't see that immediately. I did the calculation somewhere. One plus u2 squared plus, so this would be the A1 plus u1 to the L times 1 plus u1 times 1 plus u2 plus u2 to the L times 1 plus u1 squared. This is equal to 0 for L equal to 4 to the M and M greater than or equal to 0. You're welcome to calculate this. It's actually straightforward, but might give you something to do for the remaining 20 minutes of this lecture. So here we have the A2. Here we have the A3. This would be the X1 would be just 1. The X2 would be U1. And the X3 would be U2. So this is again one of these regular equations which have infinitely many solutions, but the pattern which occurs is this one and not this one. We have here, we have U to the 0, 0. Here we have U to the L times 1, 0. And here we have U to the L times 0, 1 in the usual multi-index notation we've been using all the time. The question is why? Well, it turns out if you divide by this equation, if you divide this by 1 plus U2 squared, you get 1 plus U1 divided by 1 plus U2 times U1 to the L plus, and here we have 1 plus U1 divided by 1 plus U2 squared times U2 to the L is equal to 0. It's the same equation, I've just divided by some constant term. And this happens to be a third root of unity in the quotient field RD mod P. This is a third root of unity. So if we raise the whole equation to the fourth power, we get the same thing again here and here. But U1 has been raised to the power 4 and U2 has been raised to the power 4. So this is how we get these infinitely many solutions. It happens because we have here roots of unity and because the polynomial 1 plus omega U1 plus omega squared U2, that's really what we have now, happens to divide this polynomial. So this polynomial is irreducible, but it's not absolutely irreducible. It's not irreducible over the algebraic closure of F2, the field with two elements. And it's just, well, once you know this, you know that this polynomial is equal to this plus its Galois conjugate, which is 1 plus omega squared U1 plus omega U2. Can easily calculate it. So the first observation is that even if the polynomial is irreducible, non-mixing sets may appear from divisors of the polynomial over the algebraic closure of the prime field. So let me now state the first theorem due to David Masser, which is the analog of Mahler's theorem, but now for positive characteristic. So again, we have an equation of the form x1 to the k, a1 plus and so on, xr to the k, ar equal to 1. An equation like this, where this holds for infinitely many k. And this all this is happening in a field K, which we know actually came from this quotient which we took, of positive characteristic. Then, according to David Masser's result, this can only happen if there exists a rational number a over b, such that x1 to the a over b, in order to define this, we may have to go over to the algebraic closure of K so that we can take rational powers of elements up to xr to the a over b are linearly dependent over the algebraic closure of the prime field, which sits in the algebraic closure of K. Here we have a linear dependence of 1 plus we had 1 plus omega u1, I wiped this off and I'm writing it again, plus omega squared u2. So here we had a linear dependence of the original terms over fp bar, but we may have to take rational powers. Now, this all looks very abstract, and we seem to have lost all touch with both with reality and the original dynamical background. But it is actually completely explicit, and all the possibilities implicit in this statement can actually occur. If you add here, just make it worse, plus u1 to the cubed, plus u1 squared u2 plus u1 u2 squared plus u2 cubed. This polynomial is irreducible. It's absolutely irreducible. So there is no possibility of having some finding a smaller polynomial which divides it if you allow coefficients in fp bar. But if you take third powers of u1 and u2, they become dependent. Namely, 1 plus u1 to the 1 third plus u2 to the 1 third is equal to 0. Requires some calculation and you have to interpret things correctly. So you can actually see rational powers occurring, and if you then translate this back into dynamics, you see that if you start with this polynomial, f here, instead of 1 plus u1 plus u2, this original set which we've been looking at in several examples now, is still non-mixing, although again you would not guess it from the shape, from the behavior of this polynomial. So let me remind you of the similarity, back to algebra now, let me remind you of the similarity of this result for characteristic P with Mahler's result for characteristic zero. So Mahler's result for characteristic zero was, if you see an equation like this, it means that some xi to the d was equal to some xj to the d, which is a dependence of the d through, no, which is a dependence of xi and xj over the roots of unity. In this case, the dth roots of unity. So what's new for characteristic p is that you may have to take rational powers, and you get a linear dependence over the unit roots, which may be more complicated and may involve all the terms in the original equation. Actually, it's not right. It may involve all the terms except one. So you get a smaller polynomial. Yeah? The one has disappeared. These x i's are all not equal to one. And you get this dependence between the certain rational roots of these x's. So this tells you, A, that you may have unexpected non-mixing sets, and B tells you how they come about. Now we get to the breakdown of mixing. So let me illustrate this. Let's take a polynomial like this. So this would be 1 plus u1 plus u2 plus u2 squared. None of this fancy stuff can happen. So there is no non-mixing set of size 3, say. There is obviously a non-mixing set of size 4. That's the support of the polynomial. There is no non-mixing set of size 3. Does this imply that the system is 3-mixing? That's not so easy. In fact, by using an ad hoc argument, Manfred Einsiedler and Tom Ward have proved that for this example, there is no such set. But their method, for example, would not tell you whether this is mixing, believe it or not. Okay, I'm not telling you why. But their method would not be able to tell you whether this, the maximal order of mixing is for a set like this. It's something to do with the existence of possible interior points in the convex hull of the support of the polynomial. So this result by Einsiedler and Ward was nice, but it only worked for some very, very special examples which had some geometric conditions on the support of the polynomial.
Is that it's 3-mixing, or that there's no...
It is 3-mixing. Yes. It cannot be 4-mixing, we know that, but it is actually 3-mixing.
So if you don't have mixing, then you really have it for these special sequences.
Yes. So I was originally... this is not mixing. But this is very simple, because this polynomial is divisible by 1 plus u1. After a while, you get to see these things. So in fact, the horizontal shift fixes every element in the space. No, I'm lying. The horizontal shift is not ergodic, that's what I should say. So I have 5 minutes. I will therefore just tell you the result by David Masser, the second result, in a somewhat qualitative version. So this is where everything I've told you so far happened in the last millennium. We now move to this millennium. That's a result from 2002. So this is David Masser, 2002. And he proved that let R be the order of mixing of alpha, and the hypotheses are that alpha is mixing. So it's mixing of order R, but it's not mixing of order R plus 1. So it's the maximal order of mixing. So this says that there is some strange sequence which contains R plus 1 elements here, So there are A1 to AR plus 1, and then you can find powers, sequences of powers, N1 to NR, which tend to infinity in the prescribed manner, but you have no control over it. All you know is that the individual N's go to infinity and move apart. Then there exists a non-mixing set of size R plus 1. And then you can use the earlier result by David Masser to characterize what this non-mixing set may look like. To give you an idea of the difficulty involved, and that's a good thing to finish on, let's go back to Le Drapier's example. I find the proof of this result highly non-obvious. I have been through it. I can understand each line in the proof. I should also say that his earlier result, the one where he characterized non-mixing sets, he was asked a question by Danny Behrendt on some other dynamical systems. And he proved this result and sent it in a letter to Danny Behrendt, and Danny Behrendt looked at it and decided that it was no good, it didn't solve his problem. Then I gave some talks in Seattle some years ago and asked this question about non-mixing set. And Danny Behrendt said, I got this letter from David Masser in which he proves something. It seems to answer your question. So this is how David Masser got sort of sucked into this. And then I got in touch with him later and told him about the general version of the problem, and he came to Vienna and obediently proved the result. It was very nice. So let me finish on this note. So in Le Drapier's example, we have these sets. So the smallest one would be 1 plus U1 plus U2, or you could take 1 plus 2 to the n, U1 to the 2 to the n, or let's take them as sets in Z squared. It's the origin, 2 to the n, 0, and 0, 2 to the n. So we can make these sets very large. Now we can place a smaller copy of the same set here. And if we want to, we could place the same one here. So this one is now covered twice, so it disappears. We're in characteristic mode 2. I've placed two triangles on top of each other. So now we get a non-mixing set of this shape. We could also nibble off the corner here if we wanted to. And we can vary the proportions of these distances in a reasonably arbitrary way. I know they always have to be multiples of 2 to the n, but we can take different powers of 2. So you get sets. Now, these are sets which are too large. The order of mixing, or the non-mixing set, is size 3. But you get a lot of freedom in choosing non-mixing sets which appear at first sight not to have anything to do with the support of the original polynomial. What David Masser's result says is that once you drop everything down to the minimal size, you can reconstruct something like the support of the polynomial or one of its divisors from this sequence N1 to NR, which tends to infinity. The tape will run out in a minute or so. I'll stop here. I actually finished most of what I was planning to do in my second lecture, so I've not fallen behind further. Thank you. Yes.
And you raise the other points. What's the relevance of that with respect to the example that you have with the one-third powers of cubes?
Well, for Le Drapier's example, if you take this triangle, this small triangle, and use other powers, in other words, not powers 2 to the n, then the sequence will be mixing at those times. It's just that at certain times you get dependence between these things. But other than that, the fact that you had third powers for these other examples, that's specific to these examples. That's no longer anything to do with Le Trapeze example. It's a different dynamical system with different mixing properties. Same if you took one of these polynomials and just removed a term from it, you might all of a sudden get completely different order of mixing. Because it's arithmetical structure of the divisors of the polynomial over FP bar.
Are there examples that are mixing of all positive?
Thank you for reminding me. I should have said that. So in the connected case, if it's mixing, then it's mixing of all orders. That is this right. Schlickewey theorem. In the disconnected case, it's mixing of all orders if and only if there are no such polynomials appearing, and that's equivalent to having completely positive entropy. In this case, basically you have full shifts, although they may be linked up in a complicated way. So as soon as you have entropy zero, or at least some factor of entropy zero, so that's the negation of completely positive entropy, you will have non-mixing sets. And therefore you will not have mixing of all orders.
My comment was in the Le Drapier example. I mean, the first comment I would make is that in the two adic numbers, 2 to the n is not going to infinity.
That's correct, which is...